This is At Your Service, a series of GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service, highlighting programs and services intended to improve your quality of life. I'm your host, Ken Traina, and joining us today for this episode of At Your Service is Pamela Williamson, Project Director of the Southeast ADA Center, which is the Regional Information Center on the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Anyone in the 8 southeastern states can call our office at 1-800-949-4232 and get information from specialists about the Americans with Disabilities Act if they have questions, and our services are open to everyone.
Ms. Williamson, what exactly do you mean by everyone?
Everyone does mean the business community, state and local government agencies, people with disabilities, the general public. Anyone that is interested in learning more about their rights or responsibilities under the law.
And this organization is an information and referral service, correct?
We are an information source specifically about the law. We are not an enforcement agency. Our information specialists assist people in answering questions that they may have, and we lead them to the information in the law to help them understand what their rights and responsibilities might be. We also provide publications or refer them to the websites that they might need in order to learn more. And we do try to provide local referrals to the community agencies that can help individuals more so that they can find advocates or find people that can assist them one-on-one.
Pamela, how did DibTAC come about?
Our center was established in 1991 as part of the Americans with Disabilities Act. We are one of 10 centers across the country that provide information about the Americans with Disabilities Act. When Congress passed the ADA, they put in a part that would provide technical assistance to the public about the law, and we are a grant-funded project under the U.S. Department of Education.
All right. So is DibTAC a government agency, a nonprofit, or a business?
My organization is actually one of many grant projects under the Burton Blatt Institute, the Center on Innovation and Disability. We are the Southeast Satellite, and the main office is located in Syracuse, New York.
Ms. Williamson, what can you tell us about the Burton Blatt Institute?
The Burton Blatt Institute was established to promote the advancement of civic, economic, social participation of people with disabilities on the national and international levels. We want to make sure that people have access to employment to their communities in all ways possible.
And who was Burton Blatt?
Burton Blatt was a pioneer in the 70s in shutting down institutions for people that had mental illness when it was not the end thing to do. He was an advocate for people with mental illness and moving people out into the community. And then this center was established in his memory and in his honor because Syracuse University wants to be the most inclusive campus in the world. And they want to be able to share this mission with others. And part of the way that they're doing this is via the Burton Blatt Institute. The Burton Blatt Institute has established several satellite offices, one in Washington, D.C., one in Atlanta, Georgia, because the Southeast has the largest Syracuse University alumni in the nation. And it also has an office in Israel. So we're trying to work with people at various levels at all places across the world because we really do have a commitment to ensuring that people with disabilities have the same equal access as anyone else in the world.
Ms. Williamson, I'm sure millions of Americans have disabilities.
In the United States, approximately 20% of our population, around 54 million people, are known to have disabilities. We will be getting new numbers when the new census numbers come out, and we hope to know more about that and want to know if it has increased any over the past 10 years since the prior census was done in year 2000.
And can you tell our listeners a little more about the services your agency provides?
One of the things that our office does is to provide training about the Americans with Disabilities Act. We do this in a variety of ways. We have several online courses that can be accessed at adacourse.org. These courses include the ADA Basics, At Your Service, Welcoming Customers with Disabilities, and the ADA Title II Tutorial. These courses provide information about the various parts of the law, and they are fully accessible, meeting all criteria for accessibility under the W3C guidelines, and they also are free of charge to the public. For those that are interested, there are CEU and CRCC credits available. We also provide training via audio conferences and webinars. Our webinar series is provided on a quarterly basis and is targeted towards employers. We also work with our colleagues to do trainings live and in person across the country at various sites. All of this information is available on our website at www.sedbtac.org.
And what about where are your services provided?
We serve the 8 states in the Southeast region: Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee. In each of these states, we work with a partner agency, and therefore they in turn work with local organizations throughout the state so that we can cover the state at all places from the urban to the rural areas with information about the ADA.
And DIBTAC also provides written materials about the ADA to members of the public?
Our center also provides information about the ADA via a large publication list. We have a publication list that is approximately 14 pages long, and this is a catalog of materials on the Americans with Disabilities Act. We have pulled this together from all of the federal resources and other grantees to ensure that accurate information is delivered to our customers. The information is available in print and other alternate formats. We can also direct individuals to the information online if it exists in that format. Our most publications are in the employment arena, but we do have publications for the state and local government, as well as private business, and some on communications and accessibility.
Okay, and more specifically, can you give us some examples of some of the publications that your agency provides?
One of the publications that we have available is about accessibility to voting, and we do provide information on resource sheets, and we develop information as it comes out. We have a voting access resource sheet, and it includes information about communication tips for the deaf or hard of hearing and others people with other disabilities. These resource sheets are providing information to anyone who might need it, and they are a wealth of information. It sometimes could be a bit overwhelming, but at the same time, they're broken down into categories so that any individual that might need the information could get it.
I also understand your agency provides some workplace posters for use by the public. Is that correct?
We do have some posters that we share with individuals. We have one on barrier-free employment that talks about strategies to promote a workplace that is barrier-free, a workplace that anyone can get through and access at any point in time. We also have posters that we distribute called Good Access is Good Business. This is actually one of my favorites because it shows a ramp. A person with a wheelchair is going up this ramp, the delivery person with his dolly, and the mom with the stroller. It shows that access is for everyone and that it is universally designed.
Laws regarding the ADA have changed recently. Can you speak to us about those changes?
In 2008, the ADA Amendments Act was signed. It went into effect on January 1st, 2009. And this did take the law back to the original intent of the ADA to ensure that people who have disabilities are covered. For example, because of several Supreme Court decisions over the years, people with things such as epilepsy or diabetes may not have been covered under the law because their particular condition was either under control by medication or might have been in remission. And that was never the intent of the law, that a person not be covered. So now the ADA Amendments Act has brought the information back to looking at the person as a person with a disability, and assuming that there is a disability that needs to be worked with, rather than trying to figure out if there is a disability and then trying to work around it.
That sounds like one of the best things about DibTac is that you keep up with all the changes to the ADA.
Right. Our center is prides ourselves on being up to date on the law at all times. Our information specialists have been with us for over, most of them, for over 15 years, and we keep our team trained and up to date. If something new comes out, we are trained either by the federal agency that provided the law or the regulations, and we ensure that our staff go through staff development training on a regular basis. If you were to call our office, we could ensure that you would talk to an information specialist that has been trained and kept up to date on all the new regulations and new laws that are coming out.
And does your agency provide some sort of certification of ADA compliance?
We do not give anyone a stamp of approval or certification on ADA compliance. That actually does not exist. Even the federal enforcement agencies do not provide that certification or stamp of approval. But what we can do is provide information to the individuals to ensure that they know what the law says and what the standards are to make sure that they can be in compliance with what the law has to say. But we don't provide that stamp of approval to anyone.
Now, I imagine some people might actually be concerned about calling your agency for help, thinking somehow they will get in trouble or get someone else in trouble by asking questions about the ADA. How do you break down those barriers?
I want to ensure anyone that calls our office, one, your calls are confidential. No one outside of our office knows about your calls. We do not keep a list for any enforcement agency. We are open and available. The other thing that makes us a safe place to call is the fact that we are available to talk to anyone, and we're going to give impartial information to the employer as well as the employee. And that is the beauty of calling our office. And we also, in addition to keeping everything in confidence, we want the public to know that we're available, we're there, and we want to be the ones that help them bridge that gap of understanding.
And how would you say has DibTac helped the public in general?
We recently had an individual with a disability call us that was having difficulties accessing what's called reasonable accommodations under the law. And these are things that just some minor changes that might need to be made in order for that person to continue employment. She was able to talk with one of our information specialists and was able to find out what she needed to do in order to be able to talk with her supervisors and HR managers in order to get the accommodation she needed. As a result of talking with our information specialist, she was able to remain employed and able to get the things that she needed in order to do her job effectively.
Can you share a specific story about how your organization helped a business?
We also recently helped a business owner who called us, a hotel operator, that was wanting to increase the number of TTY and hearing alarms and fire alarms for people who are hearing impaired in his hotel. And we were able to provide the information that he needed in order to be able to meet the guidelines set under the law.
Pamela, it sounds like it's very important for people with disabilities to communicate their needs to their families, workplaces, communities, and so forth.
It's definitely important for people with disabilities to make their needs known, but also too to work with their communities and with their employers to educate them about the Americans with Disabilities Act and the accessibility that's needed. Many times it's a point of ignorance less than a lack of willingness to comply with the law. And also too, a person with a disability understands their disability more than anyone else. Therefore, that's when it becomes very important for them to educate those around them about the needs and about what the ADA and accessibility means. Therefore, that means they need to be up on the law and need to be know what it really says and not do what they think it says.
And so directly participating in the process of positive change is a good thing, as in the case of the person with disabilities who went to work for Walgreens and ended up changing Walgreens' operations and culture so that all people benefited.
Walgreens is actually an excellent example of how universal design and how making something work for and accommodating an individual with disability makes it work better for all of us. The center in Anderson, South Carolina was the first center established by Walgreens a few years ago with the target of hiring a significant amount of people with disabilities. And they worked with the local vocational rehabilitation agency and the Workforce Investment Act career one-stop centers in order to find people with disabilities. Some of the things that they put in place, such as touch screens with pictures, helped not only individuals with disabilities but other individuals because it made things faster. People could look at something and immediately recognize it without having to process the words. And all of those things that they did actually made a much better workplace, and it also increased productivity. And as such, Walgreens has now started doing this in other warehouse and distribution facilities and has also made a commitment in their retail stores to start hiring more people with disabilities and doing more inclusive design in order to make it better for all individuals.
For most, workplace accommodations are really not expensive and can have huge benefits.
Yeah, there may be investment on the front end. In the workplace, the Job Accommodation Network has done a study that shows that most accommodations cost $600 or less. When you think about the amount of money it takes to train an employee, and if you have a valuable employee and you've hired someone and made the investment into training them, and then you make the investment into an accommodation that typically may be $600 or less, you are keeping that valuable employee in place for a very minimal amount of money, especially when you compare your return on an investment, because you've already invested the money to train them, to keep them in place, to make sure that things work. Why do you want to let go of an invaluable employee when it's going to cost you less than $600 and to keep them in place on the average?
Now, I understand the Burton Blatt Institute, of which DibTac is a part, is embarking on a new project called the Real Economic Impact Tour. Can you tell us about that project?
The Burton Blatt Institute is part of what's called the Real Economic Impact Tour, REI Tour, and we recognize the fact that many individuals with disabilities work, however, they still live in poverty. They're still below that poverty line because of expenses that the rest of the population may not have. For example, medical care, costs for personal assistance, extra costs for transportation. And there are tax policies that are designed to assist people with disabilities called the Earned Income Tax Credit. However, many individuals with disabilities who are eligible for this tax credit do not realize that they can actually apply for it when they do their tax returns. So they're not taking advantage of all of the things that are available to them. Therefore, the REI Tour has been going to different cities across the country, and currently there are over 100 cities involved, and it's continuing to grow, and looking with reaching out to low-income taxpayers with disabilities in order to ensure that they can access all of the tax credits available to them. The DibTac Southeast ADA Center has been directly involved with it this year in a pilot project in the Southeast, and we are working with 6 volunteer income tax access sites in order to assist these VITA sites in preparing taxes and welcoming customers with disabilities. VITA sites are open to anyone that meets the qualifications. However, there are very few that are targeted towards people with disabilities. And all of these sites should be welcoming to people with disabilities. So we're working with these sites in order to ensure accessibility. And if we're successful in these six cities, as we anticipate, then we hope to grow this project and make it bigger next year. And we'll also be providing many publications and part and develop training curriculum.
All right, Pamela, in your opinion overall, would you say that things are improving for people with disabilities?
We have definitely seen improvement in meeting the letter of the law since we were established in 1991. So we still are amazed, however, at the fact that there are many people that seem to have maybe have heard of the law, but they really don't know either A, that they're covered, or B, how to implement it and how to really make it work, either from a business standpoint or from a person with a disability standpoint. We're also still amazed by the misinformation that is out in the community, and we want to ensure that people get the right information and so that the law can be implemented with the spirit in which it was intended, and that's just providing an equal and level playing field for all people and really having an inclusive community for all people.
And your thoughts on whether you think the ADA laws will continue to change or expand in the future?
I can actually say yes. One of the things that we are seeing is because we do have veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, and especially with disabilities, we are seeing a heightened awareness of disabilities. And as a matter of fact, the U.S. Department of Justice recently released a publication targeted to service members with disabilities who are coming back home and what their rights are under the law, because we have these men and women who have gone into the military and without a disability. Now they're coming home and they're learning what it means, one, to have a disability, and two, what their rights are, because this has not been something that's been a part of the fabric of their lives up until this point. Therefore, they're having to start from scratch. So many of the government agencies are making a targeted effort and focus towards ensuring that our veterans with disabilities are aware of their rights and responsibilities and the various laws that do cover them, including the ADA.
Would you consider DBTAC as a primary source of information about ADA?
Yes, the DBTAC is about educating communities, and we are doing this at the state, local, state, and regional levels, and we want to ensure that everyone and within our reach knows about the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's often been said that disability is the only equal opportunity minority that you can get into. So, because all of us at some point, if we live long enough, we'll have a disability. And it can be, and it can happen in an instant. So therefore, we want to ensure that the community at large, not just people with disabilities, but people without disabilities, business owners, state and local government agencies, and anybody else knows about the law and understands that it's a good law because it's a common sense law. It's a law that protects people, but it is also a law that provides access. I remember as a child, I had a grandmother with a significant disability. In the 1970s, going out to eat in a restaurant was impossible. We couldn't do it because of her wheelchair. I still remember the days of my father and my uncle picking her up, carrying her up flights of stairs in order for us to get into a restaurant. And now I look at this, you know, 30 years later, and I realize what a significant change has happened. And if Grandma was still alive today, we would be able to get anywhere we wanted to go. And she'd be one happy lady because she did love to shop and go eat out, but it just didn't happen.
Ms. Williamson, if you will, please share some words that will encourage our GARS listeners to contact your organization.
I would just like to encourage you, if you have questions about the Americans with Disabilities Act and want to learn more about what your rights or responsibilities are, please call us at 1-800-949-4232. Our phone is answered 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, and we are available and more than willing to talk with you, and all calls are confidential.
Ms. Williamson, we can't thank you enough for being a guest on our show today on At Your Service. In summary, the Southeast DIBTAC is a regional information center on the ADA. They are one of 10 federally funded regional resource centers in the U.S., and they provide information, materials, technical assistance, and training on the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, or the ADA. They serve the Southeast region, which includes Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Kentucky, Mississippi, the Carolinas, and Tennessee. As Ms. Williamson stated, they are a project of the Burton Blatt Centers on Innovation at Syracuse University. The center's mission is to facilitate voluntary compliance and effective implementation of the ADA, to promote positive awareness about the ADA, and to conduct research to promote economic self-sufficiency, communication, participation of people with disabilities, and to encourage strategic partnerships among government, business, and disability communities to enhance existing ADA implementation activities. Some of the services provided are information and materials that are accurate, reliable, and up to date. Technical assistance provided promptly to telephone or written inquiries. Training programs conducted by center staff or arranged through in-state resources. Referrals made to regional experts for specialized assistance. Leadership of Executive Business and Affiliate Leadership Councils knowledgeable about in-state resources and programs that can assist with voluntary compliance with the ADA. Again, our listeners, if you would like more information, please contact the Southeast DIBTAC at 404-541-9001. Again, that number is 404-541-9001, or you can visit their website at www.sedbtac.org. Mrs. Williamson, again, I can't thank you enough for joining us today for this month's episode of At Your Service. For the Georgia Radio Reading Service, my name is Ken Traina, and as always, thank you for listening to GARS.